Great is thy faithfulness is one of the great hymns of our church, of any church. I'm going to sing it a cappella. The lyrics are on page 48. But the time signature may be different than the way it's written in the hymn. Because I'm going to sing it the way that I used to sing it growing up in North Carolina. So you're welcome to join in. The tempo, don't worry about the tempo, let the Holy Spirit lead you as we sing this great hymn. Church.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassion I fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed thy hand hath provided.
Scripture for today is found in the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 1 through 8 and 19 through 30. It can be found on pages 77 and 78 in your pew Bible, or you can follow along on the screen behind me. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people gathered around Aaron and said to him, "Come, make gods for us who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." Aaron said to them, "Take off the gold rings that are on the ears of your wives, your sons, and your daughters, and bring them to me." So all the people took off all the gold rings from their ears and brought them to Aaron. He took the gold from them, formed it in a mold, and cast an image of a calf. And they said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made proclamation and said, Tomorrow shall be a festival to the Lord. They rose early the next day and offered burnt offerings and brought sacrifices of well-being. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to revel. The Lord said to Moses, Go down at once. Your people, whom you brought up out of the land of Egypt, have acted perversely. They have been quick to turn aside from the way that I commanded them. They have cast for themselves an image of a calf, and have worshipped it and sacrificed to it, and said, These are your gods, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. As soon as he came near the camp and saw the calf and the dancing, Moses' anger burned hot, and he threw the tablets from his hand and broke them at the foot of the mountain. He took the calf that they had made, burned it with fire, ground it to powder, scattered it on the water, and made the Israelites drink it. Moses said to Aaron, What did this people do to you that you have brought so great a sin upon them? And Aaron said, Do not let the anger of my Lord burn hot. You know the people, that they are bent on evil. They said to me, Make us gods who shall go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. So I said to them, Whoever has gold, take it off. So they gave it to me, and I threw it into the fire, and out came this calf. When Moses saw that the people were running wild, for Aaron had let them run wild to the derision of their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, Who is on the Lord's side? Come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered around him. He said to them, Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, Put your sword on your side, each of you. Go back and forth from gate to gate throughout the camp, and each of you kill your brother, your friend, and your neighbor. The sons of Levi did as Moses commanded, and about 3,000 of the people fell on that day. Moses said, Today you have ordained yourselves for the service of the Lord, each one at the cost of a son or a brother, and so have brought a blessing on yourselves this day. On the next day, Moses said to the people, You have sinned a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin. May God grant us understanding of this, his holy word.
A couple of weeks ago, I had outpatient surgery on my leg. The procedure went well, but the surgeon told me that I needed to stay in a few days to allow the wound to begin to heal. I'm not used to being at home during the week, laid up on the couch. And at first I tried watching television. Do you know what's on weekday TV? Not much. Reruns of old dramas and sitcoms, talk shows, game shows, soap operas, and the news. I made the mistake of watching various news channels nonstop. Talk about depressing. It was all about the health care debates and the efforts to repeal and replace Obamacare. I saw interviews with various senators from both sides of the aisle. I listened to the experts expound on what might happen. I heard reports from the nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office and the projected impact of the proposed legislation to repeal and replace was 32 million Americans were projected to lose their health care insurance coverage, according to the estimates. And then I heard the president say, let Obamacare fail. And he said it repeatedly, let it implode. Well, I'd had enough. I turned off the television and I picked up a book that I've been intending to read. The book that I read was this one, On God's Side, by the New York Times bestselling author Jim Wallis. Now, Jim Wallace is the president and CEO of Sojourners, an American Christian social justice organization. Wallace himself is an evangelical Christian. When he wrote this book, he was a member of the First Baptist Church of the City of Washington, a sister congregation of our church in the D.C. Baptist Convention. After I read the book, I was so impressed by it that I decided to make copies available for you to read. And so there's a stack of books on the back table that you're invited to purchase and read for yourself. You know, my sermons are long enough without telling you everything that's in the book, and so I'm going to keep it short today, but I want you to read the book if you're interested, to learn more and to see what Jim Wallace has to say. The book is about our broken political system and about our Christian responsibility for the common good. I've included some excerpts from the preface and the first chapter on the insert that's in your bulletin today, and I encourage you to read them. Wallace says that his book is about three things. First, Christian conversion involves more than just the destiny of the soul. It involves the way we live in the world. Second, faith transcends politics. And third, faith should be lived out in our public life for the common good. If you want to know more about those statements, I encourage you to read the book. Well, our scripture for this morning from the book of Exodus is one of the most famous stories in the Bible. Moses had led the Israelites out of bondage in Egypt to wander in the wilderness of Sinai. They were on their way to the promised land, but not everybody was on board with the commitments and the challenges of the journey. Some complained that they had been better off in bondage in Egypt than they were wandering in the wilderness. And when Moses went up on Mount Sinai to meet with God to receive the tablets of the Ten Commandments, he was delayed in coming back. And some of the Israelites took advantage of Moses' absence, and they rebelled against Moses, and they rebelled against God, and they chose Aaron as their new leader, and they made a calf out of gold, and they worshiped it. Now, it's hard for us to understand them doing that. After all, we would not be tempted to worship a golden calf. But our idolatry takes other forms. In his book, Jim Wallace talks about modern forms of idolatry. Idolatry is when we give anything other than God a higher priority in our lives. Wallace says ours is a shallow and selfish age. Our politics is one evidence of those many modern forms of idolatry. Wallace writes, "The idols of politics are legion. The idol of money over democracy. The idol of winning over governing. The idol of celebrity over leadership. The idol of individualism over community. The idol of ideology over civility." Wallace laments. Politicians continue to focus on blame instead of solutions. To say that politics is about winning is to say that politics is about power. Some politicians will do almost anything to gain power and almost anything to retain power. Some politicians are much more concerned about getting elected and getting reelected and getting reelected than they are about serving the common good. Wallace observes, today, both political sides take a problem and they do two things with it. First, they try to make us afraid of it. And second, they blame the other side for it. He continues, what they don't do is work together to confront the underlying causes of the problems and to solve them for the common good. Now, this sermon is not about bashing politicians. All you have to do is turn on the television, you see plenty of that. Rather, this sermon is about confronting the many forms of idolatry in our society and in our own lives. Now, we don't worship golden calves, but we do make other things more important than God. And we do imagine that God is on our side. So this sermon is about what we can do to place ourselves on God's side. And this is where Jim Wallace's book can help us. So let me repeat his three main points. First, Christian conversion involves more than just the destiny of the soul. It involves the way we live in the world. And that means that the Christian faith is about more than Jesus dying on the cross for our sins. Of course, the sacrificial death of Jesus on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins is essential for our salvation. But becoming a Christian is more than Jesus saving our souls for heaven. It's about the way we live in the world before we get to heaven. Jesus spent 3 years before he died on the cross teaching about the kingdom of God and teaching about the way that he wants us to live. He taught his followers that there are two great commandments: love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. He taught in many parables, such as the parable of the Good Samaritan and the parables about caring for others whom he called the least of these. Jesus taught what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. When we focus only on the death of Jesus and ignore the teachings of Jesus, we miss much of what it means to be a Christian. Yes, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Praise God. Yes, he was raised from the grave for eternal life. Praise God. But there's more to being a Christian than simply the death and resurrection of Jesus. There's what Jesus taught us about how we are to live in the world. The point is, we as Christians are to make the world a better place. We are to work for the common good. We have a job to do before we get to heaven. And so Jesus calls us to love our neighbors as we love ourselves. He calls us to serve the least of these, to help people in need. He calls us to hunger and thirst for righteousness. He calls us to be peacemakers. He calls us to seek justice. He calls us to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Jesus calls us to serve him in the world today and to make the world a better place. Now, our Missions Commission understands that. That's why every year they recommend a summer mission project in addition to the other things our church is already doing. And our summer mission project reminds us that we are called to serve Christ in the larger world around us. Our Christian faith is not just about ourselves. It's not just about the state of our own souls. It's also about helping others to know and experience the goodness and the grace and the love of God. Well, the second thing that Jim Wallace tells us is that faith transcends politics. No political party has all the truth. Amen. He says that both conservatives and liberals are needed for the common good. And he says the central purpose of his book is to challenge the hateful ideological warfare between the conservative and liberal sides. Now, the book was written 4 years ago, but it's like it could be written today. He sees helpful ideas in both the conservative political ideology and in the liberal political ideology. He says the best idea of the conservative political ideology is the call to personal responsibility. He says that's the best idea conservatives have, the call to personal responsibility. And he says the best idea of the liberal political philosophy is the call to social responsibility. the best ideas the liberal has is called a social responsibility. To work for the common good, we need both. We need to be personally responsible, and we need to be socially responsible. God is not a Democrat, God is not a Republican, and neither political party represents the kingdom of God. Now, third, faith should be lived out in the public life for the common good. As the song says, they'll know we are Christians by our love. They'll know we're Christians not just by what we say, but by what we do. Or to put it another way, they will know we are on God's side by the kind of lives we live. Now, after Moses came down from Mount Sinai carrying the tablets of the Ten Commandments, he saw the Israelites worshiping a golden calf. And Moses' anger burned hot. He threw down the tablets at the foot of the mountain and broke them. He took the calf and burned it and ground it to powder and scattered the ashes on the water, and he made the people drink it. Then Moses stood at the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side?" The sons of Levi stepped forward and gathered around him. And Moses commanded them to wreak a terrible toll for the people's idolatry. Thousands perished as a punishment for their idolatry and rebellion. The next day, Moses said to the people who were left, "You have sinned a great sin, but now I will go up to the Lord. Perhaps I can make atonement for your sin." When Jesus went up on the cross, he made atonement for our sin. We were saved, but we were saved for a purpose. Our purpose is not just to go to heaven after we die. Our purpose is to do God's will on earth while we live. Our purpose is to be on God's side. Our purpose is to follow Jesus and to live the kind of lives he calls us to live. Abraham Lincoln said, "My concern is not whether God is on our side. My greatest concern is to be on God's side." You see, the Christian life is not just about ourselves. The Christian life is about the common good. It's about loving God and loving our neighbors as we love ourselves. It's about being on God's side in what we say and in what we do. Our Father, we confess that there are so many modern forms of idolatry where we place something above you, where we make something more important than you. And this story about the Israelites is sobering because it reminds us that all of us can lose our way. How we need to keep our eyes focused on Jesus. How we need to follow him in order to be on your side. Make us aware, our Father, of his teachings and how they should guide us in the way we live today. We thank you for his death on the cross. We thank you for the promise of eternal life in heaven. But we recognize that we have a job to do right now in this world, that your will may be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, our Father, to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, to keep our hearts open to the leading of your Spirit, to live out our faith in the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In just a moment, we're going to stand together and sing a closing hymn. And it may be there's someone here today who'd want to profess your faith in Jesus, follow him as a believer in baptism, invite Jesus to guide your steps day by day. We'd invite you to come to the front if you would make that decision. Or maybe you're already a Christian, but you're not a part of this church family. You'd want to unite with us as we seek to serve God together. The invitation is to come to the front as we stand together and sing hymn number 697, This Is My Song.